You're tuned in to KDLL 91.9 FM Kenai Soldotna, listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. This is a presentation from Molly McCarthy Cunfer from the Fish and Game Division of Sportfish. She's talking about the how-tos of dip netting, and soon she's going to get into the specifics of fishing the Kenai, Kasilof, and Chinaput dip net fisheries. This presentation is from 2020, but the information in it holds true for the 2021 season as well. Stay tuned.
Now we're going to move into the different areas where you can go dip netting. The most popular are the Kenai River, the Kasilof River, Fish Creek, and Chitna. But there are two other areas that are also good spots to dip net, which are Chinaput and the Susitna River. The Kenai River season opens July 10th, and it's open through July 31st. It's open from 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. daily, unless otherwise specified in an emergency order. And I'll show you how to access those. The best time to fish is the incoming or outgoing tides. So look at what time high tide is and fish a few hours before to a few hours after. That is usually the best push of fish, because as the tide comes in, the fish push in with the tide. It's kind of a nice easy wave to ride into the river system. But as the tide's pulling out, it's pulling out the smell of that river, and salmon use their sense of smell to detect the right spot to go. So as that, say for the Kenai River, as the tide is pulling out, the smell of the Kenai River is very distinct in that area. And so fish will often push in because they're like, that's it. That's what I'm looking for. And they'll head in. So incoming and outgoing tides are usually really good. Peak harvest for the Kenai River usually occurs from July 16th through July 25th. The permit required is the Upper Cook Inlet Personal Use Salmon Permit and a valid Alaska Sport Fishing License. So your allowable harvest under the Upper Cook Inlet Permit is 25 salmon for the head of the household and 10 per additional household member. So if you're a family of four, you can keep 25, 35, 45, 55 fish. If Chinook salmon retention is allowed, one Chinook salmon over 20 inches can be retained. But remember, that is a salmon, so it counts as one. Flounder are in addition to your household limit, so you can also keep 10 flounder. So if you were a family of four going to the Kenai River, you could keep 55 salmon, only one of which may be kings if it's open, which it's not. So 55 salmon and 10 flounder. So now we're going to just dive into the Fish and Game website, and I can show you quite a few different things. So the first thing I will show you is how to access our fish count. So I'm going to start right from the homepage, just as it would pop up for you. If you go to fishing, sport, and then fish counts, you can, number one, recent search. People are looking at this, they're ready. Kenai River late run sockeye. So if I click on that, it will take a moment to load. And it will show me how many fish are in the river so far. So for 2020, we've been counting since July 1st, 31,844 sockeye have already reached the river, which is pretty good. Last year in 2019 was a huge run, and there were 45,000 at this point. So we're looking decent. If you want to look at multiple years and trends, you can. You can hold down the control button and click on a few different years if you really want to try to figure out when the biggest push of fish has come in historically year after year. So this is a good peak right here, kind of right around this 25th area is when a lot of fish were passing by the sonar, but that's upriver of the dip net fishery. So think a few days earlier, or at least a day earlier, was when you would want to be dip netting. So you can see the 16th through the 25th is when the peak dip net harvest has been, which makes sense because the peak of fish going past the sonar is just after that. You can look at these. You can just say, I'm available on July 18th, and that's the only day I can go dip netting, and it really doesn't matter what the fish counts say because that's the only day I can go. So you can really dive into these, but every year is a little bit different, so you never know. Further, if we are looking for information, like I mentioned, king retention is closed. How do I know that? If I click sport and I go down to press releases / EOs, I'm going to click on South Central, and I just submit, I like to look at all of these. So you can see right here, Kenai River personal use dip net fishery opens July 10th with no retention of king salmon. So you can click on that and you can read it. But I knew that a couple weeks ago, and it's not because I work for Fish and Game. I'll tell you why and how you can kind of have the insider information on when certain things are going to happen. So I'm going to hop back over here to the presentation. So that's how you find your fish counts. You can also look at the king counts, or Chinook counts. You can keep watch on them because if the department reaches their escapement goal, which is how many fish they want in the stream spawning after the fishery, if the count is over 30,000, maybe they would open retention of kings. But that's all things that need to be watched over the next few weeks. Other things to consider when you're dip netting Kenai is there are weekly commercial fishing periods that are open in the Central District. You can be sure that set and drift gill netters will be out on the water on Monday from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Thursday from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. They are not going to be fishing where you will be, but some folks just like to know what other things are going on. You can also take a look at the Fish and Game website to learn this information. You can go, I'm going to jump back to the emergency order. You can go to fishing commercial. You can go to central region, Upper Cook Inlet. And then you can listen to the information recording. You can click on salmon. You can look at all of the commercial fishing announcements. You can see what the harvest has been in the commercial fishery so far. You can look at forecasts, maps, fish counts. You can really dive into looking at what the other major user group is doing at the same time that you're out fishing. So that's just another resource that you can use to look at what else is going on. So as I mentioned, I knew about the no retention of king salmon long before it was released. So when the sport fishery is restricted to no bait for the Kenai River Chinook salmon fishery, that is a paired restriction. That immediately instates that there will be no retention of king salmon in the personal use fishery. It also restricts hours for the upper sub-district commercial fishery. So the second sport fish released that there would be no bait, which was a couple weeks ago, I knew that there would be no retention in the dip net fishery. So just things for you to know for the future. If you're curious, you could have known this a couple of weeks ago before, but we like to be timely, right? People weren't quite thinking about dip netting a couple weeks ago. So we wanted to make sure that it was in your face right before you go dip netting. But if you want to be in the know, that's how. So to access the Kenai River, there are a couple different spots. You can, so you can see this big yellow areas where it's open to dip netting from shore. You can see where we're closed to dip netting here. This area of the river is closed to dip netting from shore, but you can use a boat, a 4-stroke or 2-stroke DFI with no horsepower limitation. And then in this bridge access road just below, you can dip net from shore along this edge. And then you have a 50 horsepower limitation in addition to the 4-stroke or 2-stroke DFI. For the South Shore access, which this shows both shores. For South Shore, you can use this roadway, Cannery Road, Cay Beach Road, and you can access here by Royal Street. But remember, follow the rules. Camping fires, parking prohibited. Then you can park down here. Now, just because you're allowed to drive on parts of the beach does not mean that your vehicle is capable of it. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. So for boat access, I'm going to remind everyone that only boats powered by 4-stroke, two-stroke direct fuel injection, which is DFI, or electric motors are allowed in the personal use dip net fishery. So this prohibits non-DFI two-stroke motors, which a lot of Alaskans have. You cannot use those on the Kenai River. The reason for this is because the EPA has tested and concluded that the older two-stroke engines contribute 12 to 20 times more unburned fuel into the environment than a four-stroke engine of similar size. So you do have that motor restriction. The Chitna River does not have motor restrictions. The Susitna River does not have motor restrictions. The Kasilof River, we'll talk a little bit about more about boating there, but really the Kenai River is the big one on motor restrictions. So if you have a two-stroke, a non-DFI two-stroke, there are options for you. It's just not Kenai River from boat, but you can go from shore. Be mindful, boat dip netters, that fish must be clipped before you get to the boat launch, because remember, the second your nets are out of the water, you're done fishing, you're traveling. Okay, so you need to have those fish clipped the second you're starting to head in. Clip if you haven't already done it. If you get to the boat launch and your fish haven't been clipped and a trooper's right there, not going to be good. So make sure that you have your fish clipped and recorded on your permit before you get to the boat launch. Okay, so we are going to move into talking about water quality on the Kenai River. I said earlier that I would mention this one. So talking about water quality on the Kenai River, some background, the Kenai Beach Monitoring Program started in 2010 and is entering its eighth summer of active sampling. So water quality samples are collected weekly, May through September, at two beach sites, both North Kenai North and South Beaches, which we saw in those access slides. Water samples are also collected upstream and downstream of the Gull Rookery and at the Warren Ames Memorial Bridge. So if you've been dip netting Kenai, you know there are a lot of seagulls here. The reason they're doing this is because past years of bacteria monitoring have shown elevated levels of bacteria during the summer. Based on source testing, seagulls and other birds are known to be the source of fecal waste on Kenai beaches. So as I mentioned earlier, you can help reduce the amount of bacteria on the beach and in the water by reducing things that attract birds, like fish waste. Exposure to this fecal bacteria from birds can obviously cause us to get sick. Therefore, if you're on the beach and in the water, you're encouraged to wash your hands and shower after swimming or recreating in the water. Wash your gear. Cook fish and shellfish to an internal temperature of 145 and avoid direct contact with the water when bacteria advisories are in effect, which last summer there were bacteria advisories in effect. So earlier I was mentioning there are some areas where using a stringer is an appropriate thing and keeping your fish in the water, and other times it's best to get your fish in the cooler on ice. Kenai, I would be getting my fish out of the water, putting them in the cooler on ice. So the Alaska Beach Monitoring Program is part of a nationwide effort to decrease the incidence of waterborne illness at public beaches. So this is part of a larger effort, and the Department of Environmental Conservation, in collaboration with the Kenai Watershed Forum, are working together on this. So I'm going to show you their website so that you can find this information on your own during the summer. So here we go. If you go to dec.alaska.gov and look up Kenai River water quality, you can see the beach advisories map right here. Right now, green is good, safe bacteria levels, but as more people are on the beach, as more waste is generated, more obviously gulls are picking up more fish waste, more fecal bacteria is present, and that could create harmful levels. So, but for now, all is good. If you do have questions about bacteria in the water, their page also has a safe dip netting on Kenai River beaches. There's a whole section on there, so you can take a good read through here. But the biggest takeaway here is don't leave fish waste on the beach. And if you're seeing a lot of gulls, if it's looking bad already, if the advisory is out there, make sure to clean up yourself, wash your hands after being in the water. Okay, so we are going to hop back on to the PowerPoint here. And if you have any questions, give the Department of Environmental Conservation a call. I'm sure they would be happy to chat with you about it. So for Kenai River, what to do and what not to do. I already talked about a lot of this, but it's just good to remind you, don't camp, walk, or drive on the dunes. Only walk on established paths. Don't go on private property, even if it's a shortcut. Here's a big thing. Don't drive your vehicle above the high tide mark. These are dunes. They're protected. A lot of shorebirds nest in these things. In terms of driving a vehicle, don't drive a vehicle without four-wheel drive on the beach. In fact, even if it does have four-wheel drive, you might want to make sure that you're comfortable driving your vehicle on the beach before you just head down with your truck full of kids and gear and your family dog, and then you get stuck on the beach. So I would recommend, if you're not comfortable doing so, park at the parking lot. Don't drive your RV down on the beach. Park at the parking lot. If you have a four-wheeler, that's a great option to get your gear out for you rather than driving your vehicle. If you get stuck, you can get towed, but the towing fee is a lot of money. And your truck might have to sit through the high tide cycle before it's recovered, which is also even more expensive. Don't process your fish on stairs, boardwalks, boat ramps, or in parking lots. And obviously, don't dispose of fish waste on the beach, parking lot, or woods. So make sure you're following posted signage. Make sure that you're getting rid of your trash. Prepare for strong tides. Wear a life jacket in the water during strong tide cycles, regardless of your age, or just wear a life jacket if you're thinking you're going to want to walk out deep in the water. It's just a good idea. If you lose your balance, if a big fish swims into your net, or if somebody had a seal swim into their net already this year at the Kasilof, you might lose your balance. And wearing waders, you're weighed down, it's heavy, so a life jacket might not be a bad idea. If you see violations, contact the Alaska Wildlife Troopers. They are the primary enforcement agency. The Department of Fish and Game, we are happy to help. We want to hear about it. We will listen to you. If you send us a message on Facebook, we will likely send it to the troopers. So if you are seeing enforcement violations, call the Alaska Wildlife Troopers. They're going to be there the fastest. They're going to respond really quickly. But if you have questions about how to dip net or what gear you need, the department is a really appropriate body to call. And there are some phone numbers listed there. There are two apps for fishing the Kenai River. Dipnet Kenai is one, and Alaska Fishtopia. And that's not just for dip netting. So if you're an app person, you can download those apps for your phone and see what they have to offer. So most common violations, Lieutenant Christopher Jaime out of Soldotna chatted with me for a while about these so that I would know exactly what to tell you to not do. The number one, failure to record and mark fish. So make sure you're clipping those before they are concealed from plain view. If your cooler is closed, again, they are considered concealed from plain view. You shall have fish marked and recorded on your permit. Now, looking at the bottom, your permit doesn't really have a place where you can record each individual fish. You just put the number total for the day. So my hack, what I would suggest, is putting a piece of masking or duct tape on your cooler, and as you toss a fish in, you mark which with hash marks, how many fish you have. That way, if a trooper approaches you, you can say, we're still actively fishing, but I know there are 24 fish in this cooler right now. My family limit is 35. Take a look inside, they're all clipped. You are obviously trying to do the right thing. Now, if you have your hash marks on your cooler and you're headed to your truck, you need to have that permit filled out. The second you are done actively fishing is when you need to write that information on the permit. But as you are actively fishing, you need to know how many fish you have at any given minute so that if a trooper asks. So boat fishing, my husband boat fishes with a friend. They have a red marker. They write on the side of the boat with a red marker, hash marks, until they're done for the day where they record on their permit. So just make an active, conscious effort to know if a trooper walks up to you, you want to say, we're still fishing, but I have 20 fish. Look, they're all marked. You should be able to do that while you're out dip netting. Next, retention of Dolly Varden. Again, they have the white light or light colored spots versus black. So make sure you're actually looking at each fish before you just toss it up onto the beach. Next, retention of king salmon when you're not supposed to. So this year you are not supposed to retain one. So you need to know that black mouth and spots, you've got a king. They look very different than sockeye. So you do not have a good excuse there. Next, fishing outside of open time. So for Kenai, the fishery is open from 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. Make sure you're not fishing before or after. If somebody else is doing it, that doesn't mean you should do it. That means that you can all enjoy getting a ticket together. So don't just do it because someone else is. Next, make sure you have the correct permit. I talked quite a bit about that. If you have your Chitna permit and a trooper talks to you at Kenai, that permit's not going to work. The lieutenant told me that somebody has handed him a commercial sablefish permit before. Make sure you have the correct permit. You should know what fishery you're fishing and your permit should reflect that. Here are some other non-residents aiding and dip netting. He wanted me to remind you all, driving a boat is aiding, holding a net is aiding, clipping the fins is aiding, gilling the fish is aiding. All are not legal. Non-residents may only, it is a spectator sport alone. So they're going to the baseball game, they're sitting in the stadium and they're eating popcorn. They are not, you know, pitching or batting. So think of it that way. Not reporting your harvest at the end of the dip netting season, that's a good way to get in trouble. This year, he stated failure to report will result in forfeiture of a permit for the following year. So don't wait until the last minute. And then another big thing, again, if you see someone violating the law, the Alaska Wildlife Troopers is the very best person to call. And people are proud when they're dip netting, right? They want to show everybody on social media that they caught a bunch of fish. They also post illegal photos on social media. Last year, for a prime example, I had someone message the department Facebook page with a photo of a person. They were standing next to their vehicle with the license plate, clearly in their front yard, with all of their dip not caught fish out, given the thumbs up. None of them were marked. So, and your Facebook has your name on it. So I just contacted the troopers. They said, ooh, email it to me. I'll take on that case. And it's a slam dunk. They have their name, their license plate, and a photo evidence of this person not marking their dip net caught fish. So if you see illegal activity on social media as well, call the troopers. They'll tell you who to email that evidence to. Okay, moving on. We made it away from the Kenai River. We're going to move on to the Kisilof River. The Kisilof River is open right now. It's been open since June 25th through August 7th. It's open 24 hours per day, unless otherwise specified. Best time to fish, same tide cycle as Kenai. Peak harvest is usually from July 11th through the 21st. Same permit as Kenai, that Upper Cook Inlet personal use salmon permit and your valid Alaska sport fishing license. Allowable harvest is the same as the Kenai. Per your permit, annual harvest, 25 for head of household, 10 per additional, and then your 10 flounder if you want those as well. You can find the Kisilof River fish counts the same way that you find the Kenai River fish counts. You just go to that fish counts website and underneath you look for Kisilof and you can find your Kisilof River fish count. So to access the Kisilof River, there's North Shore access and South Shore access, just like the Kenai. I'm not going to read these word for word, but you can pause here and it'll give you directions. Or if you go to the Fish and Game website, if you go to personal use fishing information by area and you look up the Kisilof, you can find this exact same information there. One thing I will note, dip netting from a boat on the Kisilof River. You may dip net from a boat during the same open season times as dip netting from shore. However, it is incredibly challenging. The only public boat launch is located quite a long way upriver from the dip net fishery. The Kisilof River is notoriously rocky and challenging to navigate from a boat. Folks that boat fish this fishery often launch an inflatable raft from the beach. And that is the boat that they're fishing with. There is no boat launch to launch, you know, your flat bottom jet boat or something like that. So if you are considering doing this by boat, I would highly recommend calling the Soldotna Fishing Game office and talking to a staff member about it before you just go about and do it. Because like I said, that public boat launch is a very long way from the fishery. So keep that in mind if you're considering it. And now we have China Poo, which does not require a permit. So China Poo Bay is across from Kachemak Bay. It's 4 miles across from the Homer Spit. So boat access only, no road options. Or I'm not sure if people do this by plane. If any of you have done this, landed a float plane back there and walked in, let me know. But boat only access is most common. It's open July 1st through August 7th, so we're open now. Run peak is usually from the 18th through the 31st. Again, no personal use permit is required. But here are the things. Upstream from the fish and game regulatory markers, only sockeye salmon can be retained. You cannot retain king, pink, chum, or coho, so you need to be very confident in your fish identification. Make sure it's just sockeye. So you can keep 6 with a bag, so bag and possession limit. So bag limit is per day. Possession limit is how many you can have in possession. So this is different. Some areas have a bag limit of 3 and a possession limit of 6, which means that you can only keep 3 a day, but you may possess 3 from the previous day that aren't already frozen or processed. So just things to clarify for you there for a moment. So 6 per day. In the personal use fishery, since it's personal use fishery fishing, you are still required to clip those fins. So you don't have a permit, but your 6 fish must have the fins clipped. So here's the cool thing too. You can go into China Poo, dip net your 6 personal use sockeye, clip the fins, and on your way back, a lot of folks will fish in the sport fishery, and you're allowed to keep 6 sport fishing. And so they will come home with 12. You'll have your 6 from your personal use limit for the day and your 6 from your sport fish limit for the day. Your 6 personal use fish will have their tail fins clipped. Your 6 sport caught fish will not. If you are going to China Poots, it is a unique fishery. It is something that you need to be thinking about the tide cycles. So a suggestion from the area manager in Homer is to go in on a 12-foot tide or higher, and head back out by the same height on the outgoing tide. So 12 foot or higher, leave by 12 foot again, especially if you have a large fiberglass boat. If you have questions about this dip net fishery or fishing Kachemak Bay, give a call to the Homer biologists. They would be happy to help you out and give you more information. They have a lot of experience fishing this area. For some just conclusions, make sure you have the correct permit and license. I'm sure I have nailed that one in enough. Know your household limit and your fish species. Be safe. We want this to be a memorable family camaraderie or friendship and camaraderie experience where you're having a good time, you're abiding by the law, you're being a good person, you are catching your fish, and you are just thrilled. And you don't want to have something happen that ruins that experience for you. You want to be safe. Don't put your family at risk. Have a good time. You want this to be, like I said, a family tradition, something memorable. Be sure to check those press releases or advisory announcements prior to fishing. If you have any questions ever about dip netting, don't hesitate to call the department. Again, you can get all of your permits online, which is great this year. Our offices have been experiencing quite the long lines, especially with having to social distance everyone. So I'd really, really recommend getting your permit online. And if you don't understand how to do it or you need help doing it, call the information offices and they can help you through over the phone. And then again, any enforcement reporting or questions, you can call the Alaska Wildlife Troopers. I'm sure they'd be happy to help out and hear from you. And the biggest thing with dip netting is have fun. Enjoy catching your fish for the year. You'll enjoy eating those all year long. And if you need help learning how to fillet, figuring out how to can those, trying to figure out what to do with that fish once you have it. Check out our Sport Fish YouTube channel that you're all already on and see what we have to offer. And we can hopefully help you out to figure out what to do with those great fish that you caught.
And if you have any delicious salmon recipes that you swear by, or any pictures of the salmon creations you made from your dip net fish, send us a photo and your recipe at spoux@kdll.org. That's spoux@kdll.org. Again, thanks to Molly McCarthy Cunfer from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game for putting on this presentation. We'll have a link to the full presentation, which includes information about dip netting the other fisheries in Alaska, online at kdll.org. A reminder that the Kenai dipnet fishery is now open until July 31st. I'm Sabine Pooks. Thanks for tuning in.